I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, Dr. Prather, we're going to start with a COVID-19 update. And the CDC right now is investigating heart inflammation in COVID-19 vaccinated teens and young adults. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's something that they announced. They have said that it's a very small percentage, but there were 18 cases just in 1 week that were hospitalized, and they were all young people. So it is something that was just in one state, and that's the only state that actually keeps records on that. So, you know, it's something that is concerning. It is mainly hitting young adults.
Well, we have talked about that. It seems like recently the COVID didn't initially...
Well, this is actually from the vaccination, not from the COVID.
Okay, from the vaccination.
So this is directly... This is actually a vaccination. These are not related to actually having the COVID, but purely a vaccination side effect. They are investigating. The CDC says that it is an area of concern and something that might need to be, you know, explored, figured out, see if they need to change the vaccination or change some of the guidelines, you know, that's involved with that. The young people have the least amount of problems with the actual virus, but they seem to be having more problems with the vaccination.
Interesting.
So, you know, this is something that they are taking seriously, looking into it. They haven't called a halt to the vaccinations at this point, but that is something that could be coming down the line later on and should be something that younger people should be thinking about. Is it really, you know, they're not at risk. The main thing that they're told to get the vaccination for is so that they don't spread it to people who might be at risk. But young people have the least chance of actually having any type of serious effects associated with the virus. But again, they seem to be having some of the higher risks with the actual vaccination.
And these are healthy teens and young adults?
Yeah, healthy teens and young adults.
And it's heart inflammation.
Yeah, myocarditis is what they're calling it. There's a lot of cases along those lines. They are saying that it's not something to panic over. They're still encouraging people to get the vaccination just as a help on keeping it from spreading. But it is something that certainly needs to be looked into. They're not finding any underlying types of problems associated, you know, with the individuals who are getting it. These seem to be very healthy individuals. It is causing some concern, and the CDC is actually concerned about it at this point and further investigating. But 18 in 1 week in just Connecticut.
Yeah.
That's pretty high numbers.
Right. Well, let's talk about universities. They're going to be requiring the vaccination to return to in-person learning. Is that all universities?
It's becoming the majority of universities that they're actually doing that. They feel that with close quarters that that would be an important type of step to be able to comfortably get people back in together to actually start the learning, because everybody's wanting to get back to it. But they're saying that they don't want to start it without having everyone vaccinated. So that's one of the requirements that they're making to be vaccinated to come back in, which is something that a lot of schools have required vaccinations to attend. So it's not an unusual type of thing. But again, if there is a problem with myocarditis, the inflammation in the heart, hitting young people, you know, that is something that, you know, you're getting two different types of messages here.
Right.
You know, that there is a increased risk in young people on getting the vaccination, and now we're requiring the young people to get vaccinated. Is it to their advantage to have this all done? It brings up a lot of questions, and I understand the universities not wanting to, you know, want to be able to get started again and feel like they're doing it safely. But then are they putting the young people at risk from the side effects if the vaccination is proven to actually be something that they need to pull for young people, and then they've required them to get it? It's a conundrum, is what you would put it at.
Right.
So And then, you know, if you're a young person thinking about getting back into it, and you know that you're not really at risk for the virus itself, and you are more of at a risk if you get the vaccination, then that puts you kind of in an odd position of, well, how am I supposed to approach this? I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions.
Right, but our grandchildren, you know.
Well, yeah, it's at least they're not at the college age, and I'm sure that they're going to figure this out by the time.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Rand Paul. Says he won't get COVID-19 vaccine. Says, show me the evidence.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Well, he says, you know, I'm confirmed that I had it. Why should I get the vaccination? If I'm a confirmed case and still have the immunoglobulins, why should I go on ahead and get the vaccination? He says that makes absolutely no sense. He's a medical doctor, an ophthalmologist.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And he says that, he said this is stupidity. He said that, why should I put myself at risk? Because there are risks with the vaccinations, as he pointed out. There are with all vaccinations. And does this really improve my immunity by getting the vaccination? And he says, you know, you haven't proven it to me. He said, I've read all the research. You keep saying these words, you know, but you're not showing me any proof. You know, you say it improves it, but I see absolutely no evidence. Matter of fact, always whenever you have the actual infection, there is no vaccination that is more effective than actually having the infection. And he stated that several times and said, you know, you're going against every shred of scientific evidence.
Yeah.
And Fauci says, well, you need to follow the science. And he says, show me the science. You're not showing me the science. You're just making statements out of thin air.
Yeah, and changing them, which
and
we
changing
talked about
them
last
on a
week.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because as he pointed out to Fauci, you actually stated on this date that having it is better than having the vaccination. And now you're saying it's not. Which is it, Dr. Fauci?
So they're going at it.
Fauci's coming back and says, all he says is, just follow the science. And he says, okay, show me the science. So they're having a very, Fauci and Rand Paul are not on the best of terms, on my understanding.
Well, it's good to, you know, I challenge Fauci, and because it is true. Where is the science?
Where is the science on that? You know, it has been, and again, I've stated before, you know, if you're actively having the virus, those are the people that are at risk for negative effects. You know, make sure that you're tested before you get the actual vaccination. Do not get the vaccination when you actually have the active infection going on. And that's right from the CDC saying not to do that. Unfortunately, most people aren't getting tested right beforehand, and those are the people that are having all the effects. According to the VAERS, I mean, there are, you know, it's fast approaching 6,000 people that they have as people who have died after getting the vaccination.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the correlation on that is unknown at this point, but it is also important to say that the reporters for the VAERS, the CDC, says that only 10% of all the reported cases are being, reported, and some people it's as little as 1% are saying that it's being reported. So something to be aware of, and use cautions.
So what is the latest on the origin of COVID-19 virus?
Well, that also has been backtracked. Fauci said that there's no way that it was a Wuhan lab, created type of a leaked from the Wuhan lab. And now Fauci has said that he's not sure. There is a possibility and needs to be investigated. And again, Rand Paul was the one who was saying that the intelligence that we have 2 years before the COVID-19 came out, that they were working on coronaviruses within the Wuhan lab, and that there were incidences of the scientists actually coming down with COVID-19 symptoms before it actually escaped.
This was 2 years before.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he says, we have intel that, yes, the Wuhan lab was working on those types of things. We have it confirmed, but you're saying that it's not possible that that happened. Mm-hmm. You have made statements along those lines. And Fauci says, well, I might be wrong. So I'm backtracking on that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there's a good possibility that this was, and Trump was highly criticized because he had said that there was good evidence along those lines, and very much lambasted by the media for saying that. And the Chinese government is blocking every type of ability to investigate whether that actually occurred. And so their cooperation raises even more questions on why they are not cooperating with any type of investigation. If they could prove that it wasn't from there, then let's open it up. But they have not, and there's very strong information that it actually did.
So what is happening in India right now?
Oh, India is a disaster. It has large numbers of people dying. There is an Indian variant that hopefully doesn't spread, but it's extremely deadly. So we hope that they're able to get that under control, isolate it. But I would definitely not go to India right now. And large numbers of people are dying in India from the COVID-19 virus.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely something to keep our eyes on and see what's happening with what's going on with the variants there. And, well, understanding why this is occurring, they're not sure. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep everybody updated.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, for that update. When we come back, we're going to talk about iodine.
Iodine, excellent.
Something that's in shortage here in the soil of Indiana. We're going to talk about that. We'll be right back. You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Holistic Integration. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. Well, let's talk about fascia restrictions. Fascia is kind of like a shrink wrap that surrounds every muscle in our body, and it can become dried out and lose elasticity, leading to more tension and stiffness.
One of the interesting things that they've been doing research, and this has just come out within the last 2 years, is that the fascia is one single organ. It's as much of an organ as your liver, heart, or kidneys. So all the fascia in your body is completely connected with each other and intercommunicates with each other. It's the main thing that determines your posture. Matter of fact, it has a very big effect on the nervous system. So as you can get the fascia back into alignment, it can actually change how the nervous system works. And much of the muscle is controlled by the fascia material. And if you look at the low back, it just covers the entire low back.
Really?
So oftentimes your low back problems is connected to the fascia material. Fascia is really where rapid release comes through. One of my good friends, Warren Hammer, that's his main thing, is fascial. Actually, I introduced him to the rapid release. He came to my office. I was working on him, doing some adjustments, and then I took the rapid release and went over it. And he goes, what is that? As soon as he saw the rapid release, it's just revolutionized
it.
His treatment. Yeah. And that's the main thing he teaches now, is how to release fascia with rapid release.
A lot of people are tight in their glutes. The piriformis syndrome will get them in a prolonged stretch and run the rapid release over that just for a few minutes. Big changes.
Oh, yeah. It, again, revolutionizes fascial release.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through Rapid Release's high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of Rapid Release therapy by scheduling an appointment at Holistic Integration. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRATHER, P-R-A-T-H-E-R, for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. A new year is time for change, and at the Prather Practice, we're changing our name. The Prather Practice is now known as Holistic Integration. Holistic Integration is still the same practice you know and love, But we hope our new name helps current and prospective patients to better understand our main goal and focus. We want to integrate holistic structure function care into the lives of all our patients so that you can feel as healthy and happy as possible. We still have the same office, the same great staff, the same high standard of care, and the same core values. And we still keep you, the patient, in the center of everything we do. We've just made some updates to help represent us well. Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048, or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Holistic Integration, still restoring hope to our patients. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
So we're going to talk today about iodine, nature's panacea.
Oh, you did great.
Ooh.
All right. Panacea. That means sort of like a cure-all type of thing.
So why a show on iodine?
Well, one of the things that occurred is I got a tooth that became infected. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of stress going on right now. Immune system kind of got weakened, and the gums on my teeth actually swelled up. And so I took an antibiotic for 10 days, and it didn't go down. And my dentist was like, And so what I did was I did a blood test on myself, you know, as soon as that occurred to kind of figure out what was going on. One of the things I was really low on was iodine. And so I took iodine that day, and the next day, all the gum swelling was gone. So,
interesting.
Personal story along those lines, but the most important supplement that I've always said that everybody should be taking is fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by that. But iodine is my second most important supplement. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find that everybody, and it's iodine is the number one supplement that we sell in our office.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, number one.
Uh-huh.
Is iodine. So that seems like something that should be important.
Well, let's talk about you. Why did you add iodine in your Prather profile blood work? You know, you added that to be checked.
Right. That was something that we added probably about 5 years ago, I believe,
mm-hmm.
where we added the iodine into our blood report just because I was doing so much of it secondary. So we would have thyroid problems, and we would try to get that balanced. And the thyroid wasn't working that well, so I would do at that time an iodine check. And by golly, the iodine was low. And of course, the thyroid mm-hmm. does not work unless you actually have iodine. So I got tired of rechecking the iodine, and I said, well, let's just put it in and check people right at the beginning for iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And we find about 80% of the time that people need iodine.
80% of the time.
Of our patients that we see. So that seems to be something that I said, okay, you know, if we're getting those kind of numbers, we're going to keep with that, and it's going to be something that we're going to continue with, and iodine's pretty darn important.
Yeah. So why is iodine more commonly deficient in the Midwest?
Well, that has to do with not being close to the ocean. I don't know if you noticed that, but Indiana's a little far from the ocean.
Uh-huh.
We got Lake Michigan, but yeah. Lake Michigan doesn't have salt in it. Salt and iodine, and salt and the iodine go together. Uh-huh. So, you know, what happens is you've got the ocean air coming in, and it actually deposits iodine across the coast.
Yeah.
So
we don't get any of that.
We don't get a whole lot of ocean air here. And then also, the glaciers came through Indiana mm-hmm. and Michigan and Illinois. And when you have that, it kind of ground up everything. But when you have that type of erosion take place, iodine is one of the first things that's leaked out. Also, we have in our farming practices, we don't actually add iodine to the soil as we're growing things in this area. That's something that we actually should do. But poor farming practices have also depleted the iodine. The little iodine that was here is actually much less. So there are certain areas that the World Health Organization has designated as iodine deficient. And so they have said that those are areas that everybody should be checked for their iodine levels.
And that's Midwest.
And that is right smack dab in Indiana. And Indiana is probably, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois and Wisconsin are the biggest iodine deficient areas in the United States.
And don't you say Indiana's the goiter capital?
Yes, yes. And goiter, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a swollen thyroid. And one of the things that I do on every patient is I check the size of their thyroid and say, and it's a very, very, about 50% of our patients have palpable thyroids.
50%.
Which we shouldn't have, which means that they're actually starting to have goiter issues. And several of them quite large. And it's missed commonly by primary care physicians. They don't really check on that. And you can't really have, one, your thyroid functioning, but actually your entire body can't function without iodine. Mm-hmm. It's essential to life.
It's interesting you said that farmers should be adding it, you know, into the soil. I wonder what that would take.
Really not too much. Mm-hmm. It really wouldn't be that expensive. And it should be something that if we were having good practices, you know, farming practices, that would be something that they would be adding. What they usually do on the farming practices is just get enough minerals into the soil to be able to grow the crops, but not enough to actually make people healthy. Mm-hmm. So farming practices really need to be upped quite a bit, and people wouldn't have near the amount of problems that they do now.
In organic farming?
Some probably do, but not as much as they should.
Okay. Well, isn't iodized salt enough to meet the needs of people, you know, their iodine requirements?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, the iodine, it is something that iodized salt was actually came up with in 1824. Mm-hmm. When they started to recommend iodized salt.
Why was it then?
That's when 1811 is when they discovered iodine.
Okay.
And they found out that it was, the French were the ones who actually found it. And they said that iodine was essential for reducing goiters. And so the French actually recommend that everybody should have salt that had iodine in it, either from the sea or from areas where they had actually dug it up, mm-hmm. and had still iodine in it. And so they made that recommendation, which is credited with the beginning of modern European medicine.
No.
Was the first step along those lines. Everybody kind of credits that kind of thought process as really modern Western medicine.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a very important type of thing. And then they started to actually recommend that. They did a study in Akron, Ohio in the 1923 to 1924. Michigan did a study. And then in 1925, they did a study in Akron, Ohio, and found out that almost 75% of all young ladies had goiters in Akron, Ohio.
And 75%.
75%. And so at that point, they made it mandatory that they added iodine to salt. They also added iodine to bread. So you actually got a higher amount of iodine in the bread than you did in salt. In 1960, they took away the iodine in the bread because they had said maybe it was a little too much, but it really reduced the amount of iodine that people were getting. And one of the things is that they have found that usually the iodine meets the requirements to keep the goiters from getting too large, mm-hmm. but it's not really enough to get the full supply of the iodine that people need. When we were getting it into the bread also, then it was actually enough. But now that they took it out of the bread, people aren't really getting it. But iodine, by the World Health Organization standards, is the number one thing that needed to be added to food products to keep people healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was absolutely the number one thing that they say. So adding iodine as a supplemental type of thing has been acknowledged by every healthcare agency in the world as the most important nutrient to add to food.
And it's interesting because you said iodine is the number one supplement we sell in our right. office.
Yeah, yeah, there's a very strong correlation on that. And we base that completely upon the need that people are actually showing.
Well, and then I'm thinking through here, you know, obesity and what has happened there since the 1960s.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that iodine is very important for is for weight loss.
Yeah.
Because if you lower the iodine, it lowers the metabolism rate on people.
Interesting. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, more on iodine, nature's panacea.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
And when they moved me, I'm telling y'all, when they moved me from the ambulance bed to the hospital bed, my shock was over. I had been in shock up to this point. I'd never been in shock before. But it was over at this point. I have never known pain like that in my life. No matter which way I moved this leg, it hurt. And I started crying. And I am so thankful that I am a Baptist. Because you Pentecostals would go to hell for what I said. I didn't even know I knew those words. They come flying out of me like old friends.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
Well, what is the most difficult adjustment to make to the spine?
Without a doubt, every single person that was in the chiropractic said the atlas is the most difficult.
If it's going to be most important, it's going to be the most difficult.
It's too. Also the most difficult. The atlas is a complicated adjustment, far more than any other type of vertebrae. It can go out in many different types of directions and ways. Really, it is millimeters that you're talking about.
Millimeters.
That makes a difference on how everything functions that's associated with that. It does require quite a bit of training. It's not an easy technique to learn. That's why we don't have as many as we should. But definitely, if you're trying to have the best outcome for your patients, the upper cervical technique is absolutely critical, and the atlas orthogonal is the one that I feel is the best program.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with five built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. Well, today we're talking about iodine, nature's panacea. And tell us a little bit about the history of iodine in medicine.
Well, it used to be that iodine was the number one prescribed medicine in the United States. Well, actually, in the world, you know, Europe and in America. They used to have a little rhyme. If you don't know what to do, give them K and I, potassium and iodine, and they'll probably get better.
Well, so, I remember my mom putting it on me topically.
Sure.
For wounds or, yeah.
Yeah, because iodine is antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. It is antiparasitic, so it kills all those types of things. Mm-hmm. It is also anti-cancer. If your iodine levels are at a normal level, cancer is reduced quite dramatically and actually is one of the important treatments for cancer. It also detoxifies the body and it's a whole host of things that it does. So they used to say that iodine is sort of the magic elixir and was the number one prescription. 1960 came along and there was actually a push by the pharmaceutical companies to eliminate iodine. The reason was is iodine was not something that could be patented, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so there was a huge push that, iodine, people are getting too much iodine. Mm-hmm. And it went from the number one prescribed medicine to almost nobody ever even checked for it or gave it. And so, but there was, matter of fact, even nowadays with my nurse practitioners and medical doctors that work for us, I have to convince them how important iodine is. Because they've been taught, ooh, iodine, that's...
That it can be harmful?
That it can be harmful.
And can it be harmful?
There are rare exceptions, and you need to be cautious along those lines with some of the prescribing in hyperthyroid situations. Mm-hmm. But we handle that in very specific types of ways. But there's very rare types of situations where you can have issues on that. Mm-hmm. But they use iodine for imaging. And so when we do blood tests on people, we find sometimes that iodine is 10,000 times greater than it should be. And it's just because they've used it on that, and hasn't been any harm. You can have iodine levels at over 100 times recommended amounts and still not have any types of issues that are involved with that. So yes, if you get huge amounts, that there's no way that we would ever give anything along those lines, and only in certain circumstances. The vast majority is iodine's pretty benign type of a product. Mm-hmm. And I show them that and go through and say, well, you know, they use it for this all the time. And then I can convince them, but it's amazing how much that the medical profession has really killed. Well, it's not really the medical profession, because it was the medical profession that actually encouraged it. Mm-hmm. But the pharmaceuticals have really made a concerted effort to debunk iodine. Because, again, it used to be, if you don't know what to do, give them iodine and they'll probably get better.
Yeah. And you're saying it couldn't be patented.
Couldn't be patented. So if one of the ways that you can improve your bottom line is eliminate your competitors. Mm-hmm. And iodine was their number one competitor.
Interesting. So why is iodine so important for thyroid function?
The concentration of iodine in the thyroid is 10,000 times greater than any place else in the body. And it is absolutely critical. Iodine isn't just important for the thyroid, but also all hormones are made with iodine. If you don't have iodine, you can't make them. And so we find one of the best ways to balance out hormonal situation is to add iodine into people's repertoire. But all the active forms of thyroid has to have iodine in it. And one of the things is that people are getting, huge numbers of people are on thyroid medicine. It's one of the most common things that people are on. But if they don't give iodine along with it, you don't get the full benefit of the thyroid medicines. Mm-hmm. And because they will actually deplete it from the body And people sit there and say, well, I've been taking thyroid medicine, but, you know, I'm still having, you know, all the symptoms of having a low thyroid. We can even check their thyroid levels, and they're actually doing well, but we check their iodine levels, and it's absolutely in the tubes, because if you're getting thyroid medicine, you're actually depleting your iodine levels throughout your entire system.
Wow.
So what we do is we pop in the iodine into there, and all of a sudden, oh, I've got energy again, I'm not losing my hair. Wow, I haven't changed my diet, and I've lost 10 pounds.
We hear that a lot. Mm-hmm.
You know, wow, you know, this is great. What's happening? Well, you know, your thyroid's actually starting to work. And even with the thyroid medicine, they still have palpable thyroid with some goiter on that. As soon as we get the iodine in, then the thyroid shrinks back down to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Pituitary starts to pop up. All sorts of things start to happen in the body once you get iodine. See, we were actually based on the ocean. We kind of carry the ocean in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the ocean has to have iodine, and iodine is essential to life in the ocean. And as we carry that throughout, here on land, we're carrying the ocean in our blood. And if you don't have iodine, you don't have life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how much of our body is water?
Well, it should be almost 60%.
Mm-hmm.
If you get below 50%, then you're actually getting into dehydration.
Dehydration. Okay. Well, can iodine help with both hyper and hypothyroid?
Absolutely. One of the things that we use the for it is both hyper, hypo, autoimmune thyroid.
Mm.
Also is very important, and very important and absolutely essential for goiters. So iodine is the answer for the thyroid to actually get better. And there's no way that anything that you do is going to work for the thyroid unless you have the proper levels of iodine going to it.
So iodine can reverse autoimmune thyroid disease?
It can. We've had, myself is an example,
mm-hmm.
because I had had Graves' disease. And
which
iodine,
is hyperthyroid.
Autoimmune hyperthyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And the iodine was absolutely essential in getting that under control. And something that I always need to kind of check on, I'd kind of let it go with everything going on. But as I checked it, I was really low, and my energy has really popped up since then, as you can testify.
Yes, I can.
There's a definite difference on that. My immune system's working better, and it really solved my little infection problem, too.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk more on iodine, nature's panacea. I just like saying that name.
Yeah, I know. You were kind of...
All right, we'll be right back.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
So how is the thyroid best checked?
The thyroid is checked with blood tests. A very common thing that occurs is that doctors check your thyroid and just check the TSH and say, oh, you're fine. It's not high. But the thyroid is much more involved than that. Matter of fact, we have about 35 blood tests for that. And one of the most important ones is the iodine levels. Because even if your thyroid levels are normal, if your iodine is low, then you don't have a properly functioning thyroid hormones.
Well, I know in our extensive blood work, iodine is included.
Iodine is included, especially here in Indiana. You need to include that. Because otherwise, you're missing a very big factor along those lines. People have been said, hey, you know, your thyroid's fine. We recheck it and then also do much further blood tests, especially the iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get all those things balanced out, all of those symptoms that are coming from the low thyroid go away.
And you're talking about sometimes people come in and say, well, I was told my thyroid is fine, but they're just checking.
They're not really being thorough on the thyroid blood work. And you're not really checking the thyroid completely if you're not doing the iodine test
too. Iodine.
Right. Otherwise, if your iodine's low, it doesn't matter what the thyroid levels on the hormones say, because it's not going to be an active thyroid hormones.
So very important, the iodine.
Very important.
Included in the Prather profile.
That is.
Well, what is the percentage of people whose thyroid checks out normal?
Interestingly, in our office, it's only about 5%.
That have a normal thyroid.
Have a normal functioning thyroid.
Wow, 5%.
Right. Now, that's according not to disease care model, but according to the homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we deal with structure function. So once we can get people's thyroids actually normalized, it's amazing how many of those symptoms go away. It really has a very, very specific numbers is what is ideal. And it's ideal on everyone. One of the things that I've done is being able to educate the medical doctor and the nurse practitioners who come into our office, because they're like, well, the thyroid's normal. And I say, no, it's not. I have to show them on that as we start to get them trained, show them how important that is to get those thyroid numbers exactly where they need to be. And then all of a sudden, people say their symptoms go away. We can tell exactly when we get the numbers absolutely perfect that the person's going to get better. So the blood work is extremely accurate. It's just that they weren't being specific enough and thorough enough.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? Holistic Integration has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row, and we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call Holistic Integration to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that freedom, yeah.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking today about iodine. You know, it's the number one supplement that leaves our office.
Right.
Interesting, and such a big issue here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
The history. I know you're going to be doing a presentation and with other doctors regarding iodine.
Sure. A lot more in depth, but...
Yes. So, what role does iodine play in breast development and breast disease?
That is one of the things that's very, very interesting for young gals, because they find that adolescent girls, you know, who are developing breasts, are three times more likely to be iodine deficient than boys. And that's because the iodine is absolutely essential for forming the breasts. If you don't have adequate iodine levels, one, you have less breast development. And then also it sucks in all the iodine so that the thyroid actually usually becomes goiters in that type of situation. So it'll cause fatigue, irritability, all sorts of different types of issues that are associated with iodine deficiency in young gals is where you usually find a tremendous amount, even more, far more than males. So breast development is completely dependent upon iodine levels. Very interesting type of thing is if you want to keep young breasts as you get older, the iodine levels is absolutely important.
Oh, we're going to get a rush into our office.
Well, I've had many a woman sit there and said, you know, you're giving me supplements and I'm 50 years old. And my husband sits there and has said, The supplements, could it possibly be changing something on you?
Making something a little more perky?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. And they're like, you know, great. I had one gal sit there and said, my breasts are like they were in my 20s.
Wow.
And I don't know how that happened.
Or the husband's going to be sending in the wives.
I've had that. So, you know, it actually helps. It's interesting because the iodine, the breasts are very changeable on size. Mm-hmm. And you get kind of, you know, if they're too large, sometimes that can actually be an iodine deficiency, or if they're too small. Iodine deficiency actually can create that. But it really helps to firm up and strengthen the breasts and the breast tissue quite definitely. Any type of fibrocystic type of breast disease, you use mm-hmm. iodine and it clears it up.
Wow.
They have definitely confirmed that low iodine leads to breast cancer.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the most important supplement that's involved. And if you have breast cancer, mm-hmm. Getting iodine has definite effects on the outcome of breast cancer treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most important thing. So it's something that breast cancer is the most common. And iodine deficiency is really the underlying cause for most breast cancer.
Well, I can see why you added it to our blood work
right.
profile. So important.
Very, very important. So almost anything that's going wrong with the breasts, you look at iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a very definite difference on the health and the well-being of the breasts. Very, very critical. It is important. And, you know, most young women, as we put them on iodine, all of a sudden, you know, they're feeling much better. The mom sat there and said, I don't know what you're giving her, but it was worth every penny because I've got a different girl.
Yeah.
You know, their attitudes are completely changed.
And iodine their irritability. Isn't very expensive.
yeah. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. this is dramatic.
I know when we're out in public, you know, you can spot someone that has a thyroid issue
right.
from afar without, you know, you can spot a goiter and
right.
It's interesting, you know,
yeah.
you say that person has thyroid. They're interesting to go out to dinner with.
Yeah. Now everybody's going to be worried when they go out to dinner with me. What's he looking at?
Now, we talked a little bit about this, that iodine's critical in weight loss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because the thyroid, of course, controls metabolism. But, you know, as we're talking about, you know, the iodine, 50% of all iodine's in the muscles.
Mm.
So, muscular development. One of the things that I find is that if people are low on iodine for long periods of time, their muscle turns into fat.
Mm. Atrophies.
Atrophies. Mm-hmm. So, muscle development for those guys who are out there and they're taking all these different types of supplements for, you know, getting strong, weightlifters, things like that.
Yeah.
Iodine.
Iodine.
Iodine will do more for developing muscle than anything else. 20% is in the thyroid gland. It's concentrated at a 10,000 greater level than it is everywhere else. You just have a lot more muscle than you do thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
But the thyroid is absolutely dependent upon that. 10% in the skin. Skin problems is oftentimes iodine deficient. So actually acne and a lot of the different types of skin conditions, eczema, is really, really helped quite a bit from the iodine. Skeletal structure, osteoporosis, is absolutely important for a normal type of skeletal development. Iodine is critical. And then 13% is in the rest of the endocrine glands. And then iodine is absolutely, absolutely critical for neurological development.
Well, let's talk about what role does iodine play in other endocrine organs.
Well, the ovaries and testes, absolutely critical. Iodine deficiency is probably, zinc is number one for infertility. Mm-hmm. Iodine is number two for the reasons for infertility. I've had so many different women who came in with infertility issues. First thing that we always make sure, and the most common thing that we get people able to conceive is zinc. And then the second thing is iodine. And one of the interesting things for iodine and zinc to work separately, they actually have to be in combination. So zinc deficiency actually helps the iodine to actually work in the body, and iodine helps the zinc to work. So they work in tandem. Mm-hmm. So if you are in a situation with infertility issues, the two things that you can actually, probably 80% of most of the infertility situations can be solved with iodine and zinc.
Interesting. What role does iodine play in intelligence?
Well, one thing is sperm motility.
Ah.
Zinc and iodine actually really, really helps that out tremendously.
Zinc and iodine.
Yeah, and if you want to get your testosterone up and your hormones, estrogen dominance is almost always an iodine deficiency. Hmm. So getting that balanced out, it really just helps.
In a natural way.
In a natural way. Hot flashes.
Mm-hmm.
Are taken care of from iodine usually.
Yeah. I was telling somebody out in the rehab room, you know, I had maybe one hot flash when I went.
And you let me know about it.
But it was just one.
And Seth told me I'd better fix it, otherwise I was in big trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I got busy and checked you out, and we got you on the supplements, and you had no more hot flashes.
Yeah. That's great. What role does iodine play in intelligence and learning disorders?
Iodine is absolutely the most important way that you can improve the intelligence of your child. Mm. So iodine is the big thing on IQ levels, intelligence levels. It is absolutely critical for the myelin sheaths to develop.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get your own cognitive function up tremendously if you actually start taking iodine. Dementia, all those different types of problems are usually solved with some iodine.
So, and what role does iodine play in the immune system?
Immune system is absolutely critical. You know, we find that people who have parasitic infections, bacterial chronic viral infections, respond to iodine so quickly, and it makes us look like real big heroes.
Right.
As we get that all under control.
I think we got to make sure we got enough iodine on the shelf here after this show. And we have one more minute, Dr. Prather. I want to make sure, how is iodine given in our office at Holistic Integration?
Well, one of the nice things is we have several different forms of giving iodine, and we actually test that out. We have very, very strong levels. We have very, very weak levels. So we can give micronutrients along those lines for people who are sensitive. We can give it in a homeopathic form, and we can actually give it in larger dosage. So we have five different ways of actually delivering the iodine, and we check that out very, very carefully to find out which way it's actually going to work the best for individuals. And oftentimes we even do them in combinations. So it's not just a matter of going out and getting iodine and taking it, but how we dose it and exactly what form that you take is very, very important that you get the optimal performance for the iodine, because you can take it and actually have some negative side effects that are associated with it if you take it wrong.
Yeah.
So you need to have somebody who's actually prescribing it correctly for you to actually get what you need.
And check it with blood work.
Right.
First. All right. Very informative. Thank you, Dr. Prather.
Thank you, Lisa.
Holistic Integration is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.